Golden State Media Concepts Sci-Fi Podcast. Together we dive into the world of sci-fi and science fiction. From episodes of Star Trek, Star Wars, to The Walking Dead, Resident Evil, all the hot new science fiction movies from the back doors of Marvel or DC. The Golden State Media Concepts Sci-Fi Podcast. You'll never look at science fiction the same way again.
Hello there, everybody. This is Jay Snook from the GSMC Sci-Fi Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network, bringing you another exciting episode of Sci-Fi News. So, there was some really good sci-fi news this week, so let's just get started. So, the first big bit of news is New York Comic Con happened like about a week or so ago. And there was a big announcement there for Voltron Legendary Defender. Now, if you haven't watched Voltron Legendary Defender, first of all, I highly recommend it. I've been able to watch every season, and I've really liked it so far. It's had a few little bumps here and there, but overall, it's been a really good show that I've really enjoyed. I've gotten to meet the cast a couple of times. They're really cool people. They're really kind. And they're all really excited for the show and being on the show. And many of them are fans of Voltron who have watched the previous iterations, too. So, yeah, and it's had a good run so far. It's been on Netflix. DreamWorks Animation has been behind it. And a lot has happened. You know, the Paladins have left Earth. They've met Altaians and worked with some of them. They've fought the Golra Empire many, many different times. In many different ways, and the story has grown and evolved in the time this show has been on. And last season, in my opinion, was probably one of the best seasons of this show I've ever seen. Now, for those that don't know, this show started off with like 13 episodes for the first few seasons, then around season 3 or 4, they decided to split it down the middle and just do one season of 6 episodes, one season of 7 episodes. Now, this was probably done to extend, you know, the life of the show, which I guess I get, but it did make some seasons stronger than others because of that. This last season, they decided, hey, no, let's just go back to the 13-episode format, and it worked really well for them. For those who haven't watched it yet, the basic thing that happens is the season before that, the Paladins had been zapped into this weird kind of like quintessence field with Prince Lotor. And those that don't know, quintessence is a really, really powerful energy source that the Galra have been using. And it's almost like a life force of planets, in a manner of speaking. And when they come back, they think, oh, no, time has passed. Well, it turns out like 2-3 years have passed. So a lot has changed in the time they were gone. A lot of people thought they were dead, right? They thought, well, the Paladins are gone, Voltron's gone. All hope of being the Galra is gone. And the Galra has kind of faced a few, you know, ups and downs in this time period, too. So what ended up happening was they come back, they find out Earth has been invaded by the Galra. And it's one of their biggest fights yet because they have to find a way to, you know, save Earth and, you know, pretty much stop the Galra from, you know, from pretty much destroying the planet, which they're very close to doing, by the way, when they first get there. So after all that wonderful backstory, all we got at New York Comic Con was a teaser, but it does let you know this is the final season of this show. Now, I'm a little torn about this. A part of me would like to see a little bit more, but at the same time, how this last season ended, it only has about one or two more seasons in it. So we basically get to see in this teaser a little bit of where they've been, a little bit of where they've come from, how they've grown and evolved themselves. And in this time period, of course, Team Voltron has changed a few times. There was some seasons where, you know, Shiro was the Black Lion. And then that, you know, position went to other members of Team Voltron. And again, some of the paladins have changed over time too, because they've had, you know, little missions come, like, hey, they have to go take care of this, or they have to go take care of that. Keith joined the Blades of Memora. At one time, you know, that was going on. Shira was believed to have disappeared or died at one time, so that's why that dynamic changed for a bit. Princess, I want to say, I don't remember her name, but the Altaian princess, she, you know, controls one of the lions now, and Voltron has realized that they've, you know, in many ways are much more powerful than they were in the beginning, but at the same time, their enemies have gotten stronger too, so it makes perfect sense. Now, at the end of this trailer, or this teaser, I should say, we find out, you know, that, yeah, they need to try to basically stop, you know, the Galra once and for all, and there's a faction of the Galra that are really powerful, really power-hungry, and really want to take over the galaxy. So stopping them is going to take everything this team has, and then some. That's just the way it is. And it's going to be their biggest battle yet, because it is the final season. And it's their last chance, really, to stop the Galra once and for all. For those that don't know, the Galra have been in control of the galaxy for, I want to say, about 10,000 years. And they own, until Team Voltron and the Voltron Coalition came around, they were in control of a big chunk of the galaxy. And for a time there, people didn't believe, hey, you know what, we're going to be able to, you know, to stop, you know, the Galra, because they just were like, they're too powerful. But Voltron, you know, and Team Voltron came and gave them all hope. Now, in the last season, again, some of that hope was gone, because, like, well, Voltron's gone, Team Voltron's gone, the Coalition is now gone with it, and what are we going to do now? And so there's still a lot of rebuilding to do, but as the end of last season showed, that has already begun. And it also seems like the Galra may be using a new tactic. As we saw again at the end of last season, there was this weird, like, robot suit of sorts that they fought, and inside, for some reason, was an Altaian. Altaian was powering it up, which is very mysterious, very peculiar. In one of the seasons, I believe it was the season before it, like the Blade Memora and some of Team Voltron found out, hey, there's still some Altaians around. It was believed at one time that their world had been destroyed by the Galra, so that was not true. I believe it was in a few seasons ago, maybe even the last one or two seasons, we got to see the Galra homeworld and what happened to it. So we got to see that, and we have to remember, too, in this, you know, whole Voltron Legendary Defender universe, there still is this, and I believe her name was, like, I want to say it was Witch Haggard, is, you know, wonderfully voiced by Cree Summer, by the way, is still out there. They had found this, like, you know, quintessence type thing that made Allura, Princess Allura, that's her name, a bit stronger and able to do, you know, Altaian alchemy, which has been a, you know, a great skill to have. Her dad had it, and now she found a way to get it. And so, at the same time, Witch Haggard found this, you know, field, so she's still out there. And last we saw her, she looked very different, and she is probably much more powerful at the same time. So she may show up this next season. Who knows? So all we know for sure is that the last season is coming. It will be the kind of last hurrah for this show. It doesn't mean that the Voltron shows are over. It just means that this show is coming to its conclusion. And like I said, a part of me is a little bummed that this is happening, but another part of me is like, hey, you know what? It is probably a good time, because I have watched many shows. If you've listened to any of these episodes, you know I've watched many shows. I've watched shows that have ended too soon. I've watched shows that ended just right. I've watched shows that go on for too long. It's just the truth. I've had all this happen. And I think Voltron Legendary Defender has hit a point where, you know what, it's had a good run. It has. It's covered a lot of really good stories. It's put a lot of really cool new twists on this. Again, I'm not someone who's really watched the previous iterations of Voltron cartoon shows. I've heard there's been some good, some bad. But I'm not, you know, I haven't really had a chance to watch them. And this, I believe, is going to premiere on Netflix December 14th. I don't know how many episodes it's going to be. If it's going to be 13, if it's going to be 26, if it's going to be, you know, around there, I don't really know. But I do know is that is when this show is going to have its final season. And yeah, it's the same cast and crew. And I would highly, again, I would highly recommend, if you have not had a chance to watch Voltron Legend of Defender, watch it. They're usually about 20-something minutes each. It's an amazing show. I've been watching it from the beginning. The cast is really, really good. The characters are really, really good. Some of the villains are even really, really good. And just the adventure it takes you on, the, you know, the all the different places of the universe you get to see are really, really cool. And there's been some really clever episodes thrown in there that don't necessarily seem to make sense to the, you know, main story at first. But they actually do make perfect sense if you really take a look at it. So, yeah, again, I'd highly recommend it. And I want to personally thank DreamWorks Animation and Joaquin Dos Santos and I think it's Lauren Montgomery for making this show and making it as good as it is. And, you know, I hope they get to do stuff in the future on Netflix. I really do, because I think they did an amazing job with the show. They took a show that, again, has been redone a number of times and made it their own, but followed, like, and made sure to stay true to the characters. And I've heard fans across the board really, really like it. You know, they've really embraced it and really enjoy it. So, again, check that out. And you can watch the teaser trailer for that on YouTube. And hopefully in the coming next month or so, we'll maybe get a better trailer just to get a more idea of what's going on. So we're going to take a short break now, and we'll be back with you in a few moments with more sci-fi news.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Hello there, everybody. This is Jay Snook again, back with some more sci-fi news just for you. So, I was actually originally going to talk about something else in this part of the episode, but something happened this week that was a really big deal, and I think it was really kind of hard to pass up and not cover it. So, if you don't know, Netflix has had a number of Marvel shows lately. They've done a lot of them. They did Daredevil, which I think is still one of the better shows they have done. It's on its third season, which actually comes out this next Friday, by the way, on Netflix. They've done Jessica Jones, which to me was a not as well-known character. She was really good. She's going to get a third season of that show. They're going to do a third season of that. Luke Cage, which was a really good show, started really good, and the second season of that show is absolutely amazing. If I would highly recommend it. And even Punisher, even though it was a little bumpy, overall, I really enjoyed it and thought it was a really, really good show. So they've done a lot of Marvel shows, and usually fans have really embraced these Marvel shows. They really like them. They really enjoy them. Like I've said, they introduce characters that aren't necessarily as well-known as characters, like Spider-Man, people know. The Avengers, Iron Man, you know, there's been iterations of those where people know those characters. People are familiar with those characters. A lot of people, a lot of different ages and generations really enjoy those characters. And like I said, some of these characters we got in the past, like Daredevil, we'd gotten a movie before with Ben Affleck that wasn't bad, but it was not the amazing movie that I think fans hoped it was going to be. It just wasn't. It was missing certain things that just didn't make it this amazing, you know, movie. This movie that, you know, fans remember and love and really enjoy and just go nuts for. It's just not the way it is. And Punisher is the same thing. Punisher, you know, they actually did two movies. One was better than the other, but it didn't do as well as people hoped. It didn't, you know, really do as much just the characters people had hoped. It was kind of a disappointing, you know, film. It just was. And I've seen both of these, and I do agree they were just bummers. They weren't as well as they should have been, and they just, you know, could have been better. Could have been worse, but could have been better. So when Netflix said, hey, we're going to do a Daredevil show, like many fans, I was like, I don't know if you should. That's a good idea. That may, you know, end up blowing up in your faces. That's just what might happen. But of course, when we saw this show, you know, it used a lot of newcomers. Vincent D'Onofrio is Kingpin, who is amazing by that as that character, by the way. And really, like, you know, just redid the character, remade the character in a way that fans young and old, as far as I've heard, really, really like. And one show that they chose to do that just was really just kind of a mess is Iron Fist. Now, again, this is a character that I don't know a lot about. I'm not like, oh yeah, Iron Fist, I know this and that and then whatever. No, I don't really know much about it. And I watched this, you know, first season, and I was just like, man, this is a mess. Now, why was it a mess? There's a couple reasons. For starters, it didn't really have that good of an origin story for the character. Not really. It didn't have a strong villain. And most of these Marvel shows on Netflix do. They have a villain that, you know, is strong, is evil, has, you know, a lot of power, real threat to the city. And Iron Fist Season 1, for whatever reason, just was missing this entirely. It just was. The cast was all right, but they weren't even really that mind-blowing. They just weren't so, like, it was, and it was so weird, because, again, it came out, you know, after, I want to say it came out after, definitely after Daredevil. I want to say after either Jessica Jones or Luke Cage. It might have come out after both of those. So they had done a number of good shows. They had done a number of shows where fans were like, okay, we really like this show. This is amazing. You know, they were begging for season twos, which all these shows have gotten by then. And they just did an amazing job telling these characters and building this really cool shared universe. And even when they did Defenders, the weakest thing about Defenders was Iron Fist. It just was. It wasn't, you know, this like, it was the weakest chain in this whole entire thing. And so when, like many people, when I was at Comic-Con, they're like, oh, we're going to do a season two. I'm like, I don't know if you should do a season two. But when they showed footage for it, I was like, okay, you have my attention. I am actually, not only was I excited for this season, I was blown away by this season. I, like, you could just tell from the clips they showed us that, you know what, they must have learned from their mistake from season one, which I always applaud. I'm like, hey, if you learn, okay, we messed up in season one, are bad, here's season two. It's got a main villain, which is Davos. It introduces a new character, Typhoid Mary. You know, Iron Fist is going through his own, you know, issues after, of course, what happened in Defenders, where we believe that, you know, Matt Murdock, Daredevil, was killed, right? So he thinks, okay, I have to be the Protector of New York now because the Protector of New York in Hell's Kitchen is gone. So that's going on. And, you know, Davos, which we did meet in season one, but even in that he was kind of weak, is a lot stronger in this season. And we just got, like, you know, all around just stronger stories, stronger characters, stronger villains. And there was a lot of cool twists and turns as the season went along. I believe it was just 10 episodes to the usual 13, but it was pretty much like a 180. When I watched this season, I was like, wow, I really, really liked this season. And a lot of fans, I think, who did give season two a chance, really, really liked it. So, after talking all this, how does this all play into what I'm going to be talking about? So, what happened only like a couple days ago, like maybe like Thursday or Friday, was they announced that they have canceled Iron Fist. And I don't know about other fans, but me, I was like, oh my God, really? You really canceled that show? And it's weird because Netflix doesn't usually cancel shows, especially when a show gets, you know, more than two seasons. And the season was so good, like, and how it ends, I was like, man, I can't wait to see more. And this was a shock. And another thing I read online that was kind of messed up too, and Hollywood, stop doing this. This is bad, for shame. It's supposed that they didn't tell the cast, you know, before it got announced online that, oh yeah, the show's canceled. It's like, why would you do that? So, that's right, this show is canceled. That means no more Iron Fist. That means those who watched season two and, like me, couldn't wait for season three, we're not going to get a season three. Now, does this mean that, you know, Iron Fist is gone? We'll never see Iron Fist again. I don't think so. And here's a few reasons why. For starters, there could have now, maybe it'll finally leave room for a Defender season two, which again, if it's if they learn from the mistake of season one, it could be really good. We've seen Danny Rand show up a little bit on Luke Cage, so there could be crossover there. And I want to say that, like, you know, they've shown up a little bit on other shows too, like Jessica Jones and Daredevil. So there's always the possibility that could happen. And I believe there's also a few other shows like Heroes for Hire or like, I know that Heroes for Hire is one they could do. So there's that option. So in a weird way, this might be bittersweet news because it's like, hey, yeah, that show may be over, but it doesn't mean Iron Fist's story is over. It doesn't mean we're never going to see Iron Fist again. It just means, hey, it opens the door for maybe Iron Fist to show up in a different way. And who knows? Maybe Iron Fist will be better in those ways. Also, you have to remember, Disney is doing a streaming service sometime next year. So maybe they'll bring him back on that, or maybe, you know, somehow he'll come back in some way like that. And I think there's like one or two other shows he could show up to as well. So, and I think why this happened, at least I think this is my opinion, why I think this happened is just because of how weak season one was. Because I know a lot of people, you know, watched season one. And I also believe there are people who watched season one and kind of just after that just, you know, wrote the show off. You know, I was able to get through season one, but it wasn't easy. It just wasn't. You know, some of the episodes dragged on. Some of the episodes were really weak. The whole season itself as a whole was just weak. So it was hard to get through it. I'm not going to lie. And I can understand some people being in that same boat. So maybe what Netflix did was they weighed the options. Okay, season one, really, really bad. Season two, much better. But by the time of season two, too many people may have wrote it off already. So that may have happened. So that may have been the reason this happened. And you know what? Like, maybe it was, in the end, it will be a good thing. I don't know. But like I said, for like many people, I was shocked. I was like, man, I didn't see that coming, because Netflix usually tries not to do that. And they haven't done it yet with their Marvel shows, by the way. They haven't. You know, that's like some of their, like, you know, really strong properties right now. It just is. You know, like I said, all those shows, you know, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Daredevil have all done really, really well. And it doesn't take that long for them to get, you know, announcements of other seasons. Like even when they did Punisher, it didn't take too long for like, oh, we're doing a season two of that. Which, again, Netflix, I hope it's better than season one. I hope that, you know, you make it stronger and more powerful, because Jon Bernthal is good as Punisher. I just want to see, you know, a better Punisher season two. So yeah, this was some really shocking news. This was some big news. But those who are fans of season two, and if you haven't watched season two, I highly recommend it. It was an amazing season. They did a really, really good job. And like I said, they just, in a nutshell, learned from their mistakes of season one. They really did. So we're going to take ourselves another short commercial break right now, and we'll be back with you in a few moments with more sci-fi news.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Hello there, everybody. This is Jay Snook back with you again for more sci-fi news. So, the last bit of news here is about a new trailer we got, again, in just the last couple of days, you know, maybe like, or in the last week or so, is, and before we get into it, I'm just going to go into a little bit of history about its director, and once I talk about its directors, a director a bit, you'll probably understand what I'm talking about. So, M. Night Shyamalan. You know, there are people who love M. Night Shyamalan. They love his movies. They think he's this great director who, you know, just does gold, I think, with everything he does. I am not one of those people. Now, I've seen some really good things he's done. I have. But I've seen some really bad films he's done too. One example that comes to my mind is The Visit, which tried to be like one of those, like, you know, let's do like, it's almost like it was two kids doing a video of, hey, they're visiting their grandparents. And I thought it was boring. I thought it was dumb. I thought it was painful to watch. So I really didn't like that movie. I was very disappointed in that movie. And frankly, you know, almost like turned myself away from M. Night Shyamalan just because of that movie. But he did about a year or two ago a movie called Split. I decided to give this movie a chance. I was like, you know what, we'll try it. And I will say, I was really blown away by this movie. Now, before I get into what I thought of this movie, I haven't watched much of his films either. I haven't watched Unbreakable. There's a lot of movies he's done that I just haven't had a chance to watch. I really haven't. So to be fair, I haven't watched many of his films either. But before I watched Split, the last movie I saw before that, I was really disappointed and really not blown away. And really just thought, you know, this is a terrible film. But Split basically has James McAvoy is in this film as a character that's got 23 different personalities. And as the film is going on, you get to meet more of his personalities, more of his, you know, like kind of dominant personalities. And there's supposedly some like a rumor of a new personality just called the Beast, right? That's what it's supposedly called. And as the film progresses, we get to meet said character or said personality, and we find out it's, you know, much more than it was ever believed it was going to be, right? He has some girls held captive. We find out at the end of the film, okay, you know. And there was a really cool little thing at the end of the credits where you see Bruce Willis, who was in a little film called Unbreakable with M. Night Shyamalan many years ago and with Samuel L. Jackson. And so it's showing that, like, you know, these two, you know, films are kind of in the same universe. They're going to go together. And so at Comic-Con this year, you know, I had decided, you know what, I'm going to just go into Hall H. I'll check out Hall this, you know, because they're going to do a, you know, world premiere trailer for Glass. And I didn't know, you know, much about the film. I didn't know much about the characters, but I was there for the first trailer, and I have to say, I was really blown away. Sadly, James McAvoy wasn't able to be there. He was under the weather, I believe, or he was shooting something else somewhere. I believe one of those two things were going on, so he wasn't able to make it. But there was Bruce Willis there, M. Night Shyamalan was there, Samuel L. Jackson was there. He talked about, you know, he was so glad that, you know, people liked the film so much, and that Bruce Willis, you know, had been a, you know, kind of like someone who had really, you know, believed in him from the beginning. And also, you know, about where, you know, he had waited until Comic-Con to show that. He's like, you know what, this is just the right place to premiere this trailer. And the trailer is absolutely amazing, by the way. And this is probably one of the first M. Night Shyamalan films I can think of. I'm like, oh my God, I really want to see this movie. This movie looks absolutely amazing. Because we get to see that there's a doctor that's taking care of, you know, Bruce Willis's character, Samuel Jackson's character, and James McAvoy's character, right? That's what's going on. They're all in, I think, some kind of special hospital for supposedly superpowered people, because Bruce Willis's character believes he is unbreakable. I mean, like, you know, he could, you know, get into any kind of accident and he's not going to break any bone in his body. This is because supposedly in Unbreakable, from what I've heard, there's a giant train crash that happens and everybody dies except him, and he doesn't even have a scratch on him. Now, supposedly Samuel L. Jackson's character named Elijah is the exact opposite. He breaks bones really, really easily. You know, he's the opposite of Bruce Willis in every way. And of course, again, James McAvoy's character has his own things going on, right? So we got to see in the first trailer, like, you know, of what they think of themselves, how they kind of are, and that I guess Elijah wants to try to build an alliance with the Beast, right? So we see that. We get to see that Bruce Willis's character is going to try to be a superhero. And so we got a new trailer for this movie. And we get to see, you know, a bit more of Samuel Jackson's character in action, a lot more of James McAvoy's character, kind of a radical therapy that the doctor tries to do on Bruce Willis's character and on James McAvoy's character. We actually get to see some personalities of James McAvoy's character that we haven't seen before. And, yeah, there's a lot of action in this trailer. There's a lot of suspense. There's a lot of drama. There's a lot going on in this trailer. And we, like I said, we get to see new things in this trailer that we have not seen in previous trailers. So this trailer is a really big deal. And I have to say, you know, I can't say that, like, you know, I am now, like, I believe in M. Night Shyamalan and everything he does, and I think he touches, you know, gold, everything he does. I don't think so. I can't say that. I'm not really there yet. But I will say that I am intrigued by this film. I really am. I'm getting excited for this film. I want to see this film, and I think this film is going to do really, really well. I think it's safe to say, just from what I've seen of it so far, I think it might be some of his best work yet. I really do. I mean, just getting to see these, like, you know, three characters come together, and we get to see more of the Beast, too, in this trailer that I don't believe we saw as much of in the last trailer. And, yeah, and so, like, this doctor is going to play a big part in this film, and there's just a lot going on in this trailer, and it looks like the main bad guy is going to be Elijah, which is interesting because, again, Elijah is Samuel L. Jackson. That's the character that, you know, he's in a wheelchair because, yeah, he just, he breaks bones easily. He just does. I think we actually get to see his mom in this, too, which is kind of interesting, I think. I don't know if it's actually his mom or if it's a caregiver, but we do get to see that, which is interesting in this trailer. And we get to see the part two where he's been in this place by himself forever, and now, you know, they do. They add Bruce Willis's character, and they add James McAvoy's character. So, yeah, I'm going to need to see Unbreakable. I've heard good things about it. I've heard it's a really good film, just I have not had a chance to sit down and watch it yet, but it might be a good idea for me to do it before this film, because I'm sure there'll be throwbacks to that film. Like, you know, I'm sure that's going to happen. And I don't think M. Night Shyamalan has done that much before. Maybe I'm wrong. I really don't know, but I'm not sure if he's done throwbacks to previous films and new films. I'm just not sure. But yeah, if you are a fan of M. Night Shyamalan, I totally recommend you watch this trailer. This actually comes out, I want to say, early part of next year. I don't know when. I want to say in either January or February or something like that. But I'm not really 100% sure, to be honest. But yeah, I would definitely recommend check out this trailer. This trailer is pretty amazing. I'm really excited for it, and I think this movie is going to be a really, really good movie. I would totally just, yeah, I think it's going to be his best work yet. I really mean that. And I think he deserves it. You know, he's done a lot of films, and I think he's only done a couple films that have really kind of been really big like this, and this film is going to be one of those films. So, yeah, I don't know if I have much more else to say about besides just check out the trailer. You know, and like I said, there's a lot going on in said trailer, and yeah, I would just highly recommend it. I think it's going to be a pretty amazing movie, really. I really do mean that. So, other than that, that's all we have for this episode. I hope you've enjoyed all the stuff I've told you, and other than that, have yourself a wonderful rest of the day, and talk to you all, and we'll be back with another episode, and have a wonderful rest of the day.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sci-Fi Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.